1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay up.
Oh, he got loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
Tay. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Finney.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, welcome back in for another edition of the Scolders Podcast, post-holiday podcast. I'm your host, Ed Brown. Marco with me, as always, is my cohort, partner in crime, Mike Anderson. How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing well.
You have a good holidays there, Mikey?
I did.
Good to hear.
Yes.
We're back home now, back home away from the crazy families that we both share. Everyone's got a couple, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got a couple. But we get to talk today about the Vikings handling their business, taking care of Detroit. Before we do that, though, Mike, it's our standard to run the league look. A couple points here I wanted to touch on here. Seattle beating Kansas City.
Yeah.
What are we thinking?
I mean, like I said, Russell Wilson, MVP candidate, if they make the playoffs, and they have now...
They've clinched the playoffs.
Clinched the playoffs, and I heard this week, finally, people start talking about him and how he should probably be a part of that MVP race, so... He's really put the team on his back. Defense has played better than expected, I think, this year. And then we've seen Kansas City really have some issues on the defensive side of the ball. And it's ultimately cost them. I mean, Mahomes is still doing his thing. But when
the defense is that bad, I think they're like 31st or something in the NFL.
I mean, if they're going to get into shootouts, it's going to be very difficult for them to advance, I think. Especially if they need to go on the road at all,
sure.
For you know any length of time in the playoffs. So,
which we'll touch on this in a little bit, I think. But they aren't actually locked to win that division right now,
right?
So it's very possible that Chargers could steal that division, and they're sitting at the 5 seed, having to play on the road for all their games going forward. So, that was a little bit of a surprise to me. I was kind of pinging in Kansas City to win. I think you also did in our predictions. Just a little bit surprising that Kansas City, they felt like they were handled the entire game.
Right. No, it's not that shocking. Seattle, like I've said every year, I think anytime you got Russell Wilson on the field, they're a very dangerous team. And they proved that now. They've won a couple of big football games here down the stretch. Obviously losing to the 49ers the week prior. Was a little weird, but 49ers have been playing some better football, which Vikings fans will hope continues this week.
Hope they don't.
That one we hope doesn't, yeah.
Yeah. But we'll get into that a little bit more. Also, New Orleans clinches the number one seed, so likely we're going to see some Teddy B playing for them. Thoughts in there?
No. I mean, not shocked, I think. Consistently, they've been the best team in the NFC this year, so they'll be well rested going into 3 weeks from now.
Yep, and it'll be fun to see a Teddy B getting some starting action there.
Yeah,
it, kind of showing what he's been working on. Obviously, you're not expecting a ton because they're probably going to be sitting Kamara, Michael Thomas, all the big names. But it's going to be fun just to see him get in there and see some live action for a change.
No doubt about that.
Nick freaking Foles, man. Thoughts?
I don't understand him. But certainly Eagles players are with him. They just got two huge wins back-to-back, beating Houston, and I believe the week before they beat the Rams, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Now, both games were pretty close, kind of coming down to the wire for the most part. They needed a field goal as time expired this week to get there. So, but at the end of the day, they got it done. Unfortunately for Vikings fans everywhere, we almost had a great little Sunday.
Had the Eagles lost, we would have clinched.
Yeah, they missed that kick. So, no, Foles is doing the thing. They seem rejuvenated behind him, and they're definitely a little bit of a different offensive team. Ertz had a huge game, but Alshon Jeffrey gets a little bit more involved when Foles is at the helm, and they're right there. I imagine they're going to win this week. So
basically what you're saying is they should trade Carson Wentz and extend Nick Foles.
I don't know about that, but I think Foles is probably going to get paid this offseason.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt that at all. So Last point here for around the week. New England clinches its 10th straight division title, and I believe its 9th straight first-round bye with a win versus the Jets, or Houston lost to Jacksonville. Now, I know New England has been great, but to be fair, they've probably played in about the weakest damn division in the NFL.
Yeah.
In that time span. So can the Jets, Miami, and Buffalo please get their crap together? I'm tired of seeing these guys win in this damn division every year.
Yeah, I mean, you've had, what, Miami has made the playoffs a couple times. You had a ways back when the Sanchez led the Jets to a couple of AFC championships. And the Bills were a playoff team last year, I guess, but...
They made it to the playoffs.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there. I think as long as Brady is continuing to play at a high level, which even if you think he regressed a little bit this year, they're still a good football team, and I think...
Still better than most teams.
Yeah, I think they're going to be considered a very dangerous team, and no one's going to be surprised if they end up in another Super Bowl.
Yeah. This gets old after a while. Anyway, rolling into playoff update before we get into Detroit recap.
Yep.
AFC side of things, the Rams, I believe, are in with a win. They're also in with a Pittsburgh loss.
The only way Ravens, right? Yeah.
Or did I say the Rams? Yeah. Yes, the Ravens. The Steelers, the only way they get in is with a win plus a Baltimore loss or a win and a Colts-Titans tie. So they're in life support, Mike.
They are.
I believe there was a certain podcaster that in our preview show for the season mentioned that the Steelers weren't going to make the playoffs.
You did. I mean, you still got a little work to do on that.
I really don't, but...
It's...
They need everything to go their way.
I wouldn't say everything. They need to win a game, and they need Baltimore to lose to what has been a very good Browns team as of late. I mean, I don't consider that a lot. That's two games that need to go their way.
I think it's a very uphill climb.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll find out.
I mean, I just know... Ravens got a little bit of, you know, Lamar Jackson, this will be a good test for him, I think.
Sure.
And like we said, the Browns right now are playing at a high level. They're one of those teams that are playing with a lot of confidence, playing for next year. And you've got coaches there and players there that are really playing for jobs next year, more so than I think you do on most other teams. So I don't know that the Ravens are going to blow out. I mean, that's already kind of that hard-nosed type of football game as is. So, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm going to end up picking the Ravens, but I want to watch that game as much as I can here this weekend and take a look. And, I mean, the Steelers, hey, if they don't make it, it's a great call by you. I do think if they do get in, they just have so much weaponry on the offensive side of the ball that they're still a team I would not want to face, and especially with all that experience. I mean, look, they almost beat New Orleans this last week. They were, what, a half yard away on that fake punt?
But they didn't.
They didn't. They didn't. and lastly, Indy, Tennessee. Tennessee being a team that consistently just stays in every football game. They've been really establishing the run lately with Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Mariota is not going to be able to go in that game. So that, I think, is an intriguing element. And... I'm not sure. I mean, that's going to be a fun game, too. I'm leaning towards Indy right now. I'm going to lean towards a little bit of the higher, high-flying offense. But, yeah.
That one's a winner-go-home. Winner gets in the playoffs, winner goes home.
And I believe that one is the Sunday night game, I believe. That's the flexed 8 o'clock or what, 7:20
I believe that's
game
correct,
or whatever it is.
No, there is a situation where I believe neither of those make it. I think if they tie, the Ravens win, the Steelers win, and that tie happens... I think the Ravens and the Steelers make it in.
Right. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I believe that's how that works. So, one of those teams is probably going to win. Ties are still pretty rare, even given the recent adjustment to 10 minutes.
Well, and especially, you got to realize, in that scenario, you're going to get to a point where a team is going to have to take a chance. So, say there's a minute 30 left, and you're on your own 30, and it's 4th and 10... You know, you have to go for it. Well, if you don't get it, you know, you're gonna put the other team right in field goal range type of situation. So I would agree it's gonna be really rare for that game to end in a tie, but we've obviously seen it a little bit more this year than in previous years with that rule change going to 10 minutes. So
right. Absolutely. So NFC side of things, there's only two teams that have a shot at the final playoff spot. We mentioned Seattle's got the lock. Minnesota is currently slotted as 6th seed, but the Eagles have a chance to get in. Minnesota winning it, simple as possible.
Yep.
If you lose, you need a Philadelphia loss. Washington's been playing still decent football for whatever reason. I don't know why, but they're still putting up points and still making games close. So that Philadelphia could still lose that one. Still possible. But Minnesota right now opens as 6.5-point favorites against Chicago. Betting on anything, it's bet down to like -5 at this point.
I think I saw it at 1.5. No.
Is it all the way down to that low?
I think I saw it that low.
They must be betting that down quite a bit.
Which makes sense because they still have... Chicago right now has a lot to play for in a first-round bye. So,
right.
Vikings, it's pretty simple. Winning in and probably lose an out, I would say. The way Philadelphia is playing right now, I would agree there's a chance. In the NFL, there's always a chance. We saw Buffalo come in and dismantle the Vikings. But
right now, it's kind of a win-or-go-home situation for the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, they just beat... You know, Philly just beat the Rams and the Texans, two pretty good football teams. So,
however, both at home.
True, but I don't know. Washington's got a lot of stuff going on. They just cut one of their better defensive backs after he voiced a little frustration the way the defense was being called, and they're on to their, what you said, fourth or fifth quarterback. I think there's just a lot of not great things going on there. So
this is a whole other podcast, but Washington, you know, Reuben Foster. Domestic violence, that's okay. You know, all these other things, that's okay. Having, you know, racially charged name, okay. But no, you question our coaching staff, you're gone.
Right. Yeah, I still think that Washington should just be contracted, basically, right now.
Basically, you no longer have a team?
No, just get a new team somewhere else.
Yeah, I'd be on board. Just ship them over to St. Louis.
Yeah, there you go.
St. Louis Skins, I don't know.
Bring Jeff Fisher back.
St. Louis Arches.
There you go.
Jeff Fisher, 7-9 all day long. Anyway, getting into the Detroit recap. Vikings taking care of business, 27-9, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct.
Fun stat I found out, we have not allowed a quarterback to throw for more than one touchdown since week 5. It's insane, Mike.
No, I mean, I've been telling you guys for weeks that the defense has been playing unreal lately, especially in the second half.
It's real.
I mean, they put up double zeros again in the third and fourth, Detroit did. The defense is just playing at another level right now, and if we would have seen a little bit more of this early on, I think they'd probably have the top-ranked defense. I believe they just jumped in front of the Bears for overall to 3, Bears are 4. So, in my opinion, this probably is, right now, the best defense. The way it's playing right now, the best defense in the NFL. And I think that they're aware of that. And that's why it's exciting if they can get in. We know that this defense can keep games close. And yep. With the weapons that we have in Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph, who we'll get to here momentarily, and certainly a recharged Dalvin Cook, who was really underutilized the first 3 quarters of the season, You've got a possibility. You've got a recipe to be in every football game, and as we know, the records go away when you get into the playoffs. Everyone's 0-0, so it's a brand new season.
Yep. So you mentioned a little about the defense. We gave up some chunk plays, but again, we didn't surrender a TD the entire game. Just dominated from the start. Just felt like just stifling defense. Yeah, we'd let them get a couple first downs here and there, but overall, they were getting nothing going. But the Vikings also had a pretty damn slow start. Some calls I didn't understand. Like, for instance, a QB sneak on your own 1-yard line. What are we doing?
You know...
What are you trying to accomplish with that play?
I've seen that call before by myself in Madden, typically, to get some room so I can punt. I got where you're coming from. I don't know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. They must have really liked the ability to push with the interior there and thought that they could get 2 or 3, and that was the best way to do it.
Okay. How in the hell do you have that confidence in that?
I don't know, but that's the only way that really makes that call make sense. So.
Excuse me. Then the next play, the next play, you run Hingham up the middle.
Well, they're clearly, they thought they had something up the middle, and they're just trying to get broken through to get a little room to work.
Just, it didn't make any damn sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating, definitely. I believe three of the first four were three and outs, and I think the fourth one wasn't too much more than that. So, definitely frustrating. I don't know why it is either.
It was just such stark contrast from Miami game. You go down 3-for-3, your first three drives, yeah. Four touchdowns. And this one, it's just like you couldn't get anything going. I don't know what's going on, but we cannot have that
going forward. The thing is that when they get going, for the most part, it seems like they don't really slow back down at that point. You know, it's usually a penalty at that point or a drop pass or a turnover that slows them down. It's not the inability to move the chains through your play calling. It's just like, I don't know. It's almost like they need to get into the game flow and just get it going. But then you look at Miami, and they ended up starting out hot. And now they did have a little bit of a lull there, but that was mostly, we had a lot of penalties and things like that. And we'll get to that again. We had, I think, 11 more penalties this game. That's got to stop. But yeah, yep. I don't know. You know, we talked a little bit before the show, and there's nothing that jumps out to me on how to get over this slow start thing. I just...
We'll get a little bit better at scripting the plays and just better at execution, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't think it's anything fancy at this point.
I don't know if it's take a little bit more chance. Obviously, that's a little risky, but...
I don't hate it, because just throw it out there, and you have a defense that's stifling enough.
Yeah, I mean...
on that, and just, let it rip.
Come on out and run a play action and maybe try to get a 30-yard pass right out the gate and really just inject that life into the offense. I'm not sure. Certainly we're going to be able to have that tested again this week against what will be a very good Bears defense, at least for the start of the game.
Right. One thing I did find, it was... I was holding my breath on this one, the Hail Rudy.
Yeah.
Wow. You know... Say what you will about Hail Mary passes. I don't feel like we would have called that in years past. I don't feel like we would have ran that play in years past at the end of a half like that. We just haven't seen anything like that.
Right.
And I love that play.
Yeah.
Just chuck it. Don't try to get a little dink for some field goal. Just fucking chuck it.
Right. Well, and it was
a goal.
Rudy looked like he was 7'6" on that play. Just jumped up and was way over, towering over everyone else, which was kind of cool.
Which is hilarious, because it's like, how many Detroit guys are sitting right there in front of him?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, but he's a big guy. That's a little bit, on the flip side, it was a bit concerning, because if we don't get that, I think that made it 14-9. Is that accurate?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, if you don't get that, all of a sudden you're going into half, down two... on the road to a Lions team where you've had trouble in the past, especially with Zimmer. But I think at that point, that was really a rejuvenator. That got them going at locker room. Everyone was jacked up, and we came out and put up another 13 points. Granted, 10 of it was in the fourth quarter. So still probably a little bit closer of a game than we would have liked. But that defense really did go into lockdown mode.
Yep.
In the second half, which we've seen consistently since, I believe, the Rams game for the most part. One's really been able to put up points. Now, the offense has given points away.
Even before that, you look at, for instance, Buffalo game. I think we gave up like 3 points in the whole second half.
I don't even know if we gave up any.
Maybe we even didn't. You might be right.
Yeah,
I don't think we gave up anything.
Right.
So they've been there this whole year. They've just been consistent throughout the game recently.
No, I don't know. Really cool, though, the Hail Mary. That was kind of fun to watch. It's been a while since we had a play like that, so.
Yeah, I know. It was a fun time sitting there watching with the moms, just chilling with the kids playing in the corner, and all of a sudden we're like, yeah!
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. So what allowed that, clean pocket for Kirk, more or less. But the fourth straight game where he's been kept pretty clean overall. So... I don't know how this continues if we're going up against Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack back-to-back weeks here. It was good to see that.
Yeah, and I think the addition, the health of Morgan and more sets with tight ends and C.J. Ham getting more involved, and also, a little bit of the play action and getting Kirk on the move a little bit. I think those things have really helped.
Keeping a bit more honest.
Yeah, he was sacked, I think maybe three times last game, but definitely he's got a little bit more confidence.
Sure.
You know, there was a couple times this year where it's like he felt it and just went down, and I think he was terrified to turn the ball over at that point. He had a pretty high turnover number, you know, a few weeks back, and now he's kind of pumped the brakes in that a little bit, knock on wood. But yeah, pocket definitely a little bit cleaner. Again, you're going to see some pretty stifling matchups here coming into week 17 and certainly the playoffs. But let's hope we can try to, and we know we're not going to keep it perfect, but anything we can do to just kind of
keep it a little bit cleaner, give him a little bit more time, give him an extra half second, which I think is very good to see this group getting some confidence going into some of these games where they're going to need that.
Yeah, and I think a couple sacks too that I remember from this game did come on third down where they were bringing the blitz. You know, they were bringing a fair amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as we know, when you do that, it can be very effective.
Yeah.
Especially if Mike Zimmer is the one calling it. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that's the last major note I have there. But a couple player notes here. So Mac Alexander just been turning it on as of late. I think the last 3-4 games he's had just some incredible games. He's breaking up passes left and right. He's just very sound at tackling. Not really what we've seen the last couple of years from Mac.
No, came out of nowhere. Turned into one of my favorite players to watch right now on a weekly basis. Making some really great plays. He's in the right spot. He's in the right position. And almost had a beautiful interception in the end zone this week.
Yep.
I thought it was borderline offensive interference, actually, that prevented it.
Probably should have been, but...
I think we've really got something there. It seems like it's just clicked, and... this is awesome if he can keep playing that way and we can get Rhodes to hopefully stay healthy. I think he could be a great tandem guy and a great, you know, positional corner here for
right. The
very, very long future.
Hey, I look at this as kind of like a Captain Moneyman when he came in his first year here. Didn't really do that well. Second year, got a lot more comfortable with it. Started playing a lot better. I think we're finally starting to see that click over to Mac's side. I don't even know if the snap count's a curse, but I don't think he's been out there nearly at all recently in the last couple weeks, playing that kind of money backer role, taking Mac off the field. So good to see there. Holton Hill coming in relief on Rhodes in a couple plays. We didn't even have to draft this kid, man, and he's been lights out, I think, all year. Whenever he's been called on, he's performed well. He stepped in, and you haven't even noticed that you didn't have Rhodes there, which is extremely encouraging. So for me, honestly, with Hughes coming in here, being able to play that slot role as good as he did and the regular corner, and Hill coming in there doing the same, I think we might see a surprise cut or two on the Viking secondary, the cut/Drake target. I wouldn't even throw off possibly Rhodes being traded somewhere and getting us in a bevy of picks.
Wow.
I'm just saying, it's a possibility. Now, I know that there's someone out there that would be like, well, you don't trade away the highest value position, you don't trade... But, okay, understand me here. And this is a point I try to always make. The Vikings coaching staff has clearly got a knack for developing defensive back talent. We've seen them take low draft round picks, undrafted free agents, just any kind of free agent that comes through here seems to end up excelling in the system. Might take a couple years, might be instantaneous like Hill and Hughes. But... when you have that situation, in my mind, you leverage that. Like, I don't care if that position group is one of the most valued in the league and you want to retain those guys. Leverage that coaching ability and give away some of that and let those younger guys be your starters and get other picks to fill in the spots where you need to take more shots at.
Right.
Because you miss more often.
I think to me, you know, I agree there's going to be some unique cuts. You know, I think... certainly, Sendejo, I think Rudy is a possibility. But as much as we've loved these young guys and as well as they have played, we have seen where there's been issues when Sherrills is forced to play. You know, and
sure.
It hasn't happened a lot this year, but we've had times when guys are banged up, and it's really a problem when we get past that level of depth that we have you know, the luxury of having right now. And I just, with how often those guys tend to get banged up, I don't know. I mean, I get where you're coming from. I don't see Rhodes as ever being that guy in this, you know.
And I understand the point from the injury perspective, but look at who we have rostered right now and look at who we have under contract for next year. You have Harrison Smith. You have Anderson Dejo. You have Anthony Harris. You have Jayron Kearse. Technically a safety. He's been playing some slot cornerback. Then you have Xavier Rhodes. You have Trey Waynes. You have Mack Alexander. Okay? Then you have Holton Hill, and you have Mike Hughes. All right. You have nine guys there.
Yeah.
That all can play. And you have one guy that can play almost anywhere in Jayron Kearse. You have Mike Hughes, who can play in the slot if he needs to. So if you need to slide that in. You have Holton Hill, who's been arguably better, if not arguably, like, objectively better than Rhodes has been. So, in my mind, yeah, I understand the depth portion of it, but you're only firing out five of those guys at one time anyway.
Right.
But I understand the injury portion, but just, like, just bring in a second, third round pick again.
I mean, I get it. It just also, so I think we're going to agree that this window is still going to be there next year and probably, I guess I don't even want to go the year after that, but I think next year, you still got Waynes under contract. You've still got a lot of these guys where I think this team, at least how we're looking at it now, is going to be competitive next year and be yep. of Super Bowl caliber. So, to me, I don't see a move like that happening, especially with Waynes having a couple concussions this year. That's a dangerous situation there. You know, one or two more of those, and who knows? You know, we've seen guys walk away very young from this game because of those sorts of things. You don't know how soon and how well Mike Hughes is going to come back from that knee injury. Now, it seems like guys are coming back faster and better than ever. Look at Dalvin. You know, he looks unreal this year. But you do have situations where guys take a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. And while he did look good for a rookie, I think there were still times where Mike Hughes wasn't in the right spots throughout his short rookie season. I know he looked good with the pick six to seal the game. I don't remember who that was against early on. Yeah. But, I mean, again, I get where you're coming from. I just don't think I see a move like that happening next year. Maybe after that, when you really start to see for sure what you've got in some of these players. But, I don't know. Short term, I'm not seeing that specific position group having that cut.
Which is fair. I just think just be on the lookout for kind of surprise I got because I could see it happen.
Yeah. Like I said, I think you're gonna see like a Rudolph or someone along those lines, where to the general fan base, it's gonna be like, whoa, what are we doing here? You know,
right.
So yeah, well, I don't know. That's a different podcast. Hopefully for mid February or later. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned a little bit. Rudolph had a big day.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this pretty much all season. The third and fourth guys, the tight end and the Treadwells of the world. If this team goes anywhere, they need to start stepping it up, and they need to start getting these catches to open up the Diggs and Thielen. Because we've seen in the last 3-4 games, Thielen's been pretty much neutralized. He's been taken off the table, so all these targets got to go somewhere. And if you got a big athletic tight end like Kyle Rudolph, let's get him involved. So we saw that. Thoughts on Rudolph?
Yeah, I think you know the last 2 weeks we've seen tight ends become a little bit bigger piece, not only in running the ball, but also being a part of the pass game. Whether it be this week, Kyle Rudolph, Conklin had a good game last week. And I think it has opened up the bigger plays. So Thielen's still a 5-for-80 on 6 targets this week. He had a 40-yard catch. Still there. When we say, oh, he had an off week with 5-for-80, I mean, that's a good thing. Like, it was there. Robinson was missed on a deep pass this game. So I think what's happening here, we're establishing the run. You're starting to get Cousins moving a little bit more. He's going to some of these you know, second, third reads in Rudolph, and it's opening up the big plays, which we're getting a lot more of, it seems like, the last 2 weeks. So mm-hmm. I feel like we've been preaching this for the whole year. Why aren't we doing these things? And I think now we're doing them.
Now we're finally starting to get that together.
Yeah.
All right, so last point I have here, Mike, talking about Kevin Stefanski Part 2.
Yep.
The SLT edition, if you will, because it's Detroit and, you know, Ford Motor Company. What do you feel about him, Part 2?
I mean, so far so good to me, right? I think running the ball.
Slow start doesn't concern you at all?
I mean, the slow starts do, but we had slow starts under DeFilippo as well, we had slow starts that lasted the entire games under him. So I think running the ball has been extremely effective. You know, we're running the ball more than ever. We were looking back, looking ahead for next week, and as we'll touch on, we only ran the ball like 13 or 14 times against Chicago the first time we played them. And we're just, you can't do that. You shouldn't, almost no football team should ever do that. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, I kind of thought we would regress a little bit this last week. And I mean, overall, when I look at the stats at the end of the day, yeah, they probably did a little bit, especially when you consider that Rudolph's touchdown came on that long play, whatever else. Dalvin didn't have as big a game as he did. But I think that the first week was really, he kind of had to come up with what they're going to do, short period of time, and it might have been a little bit just more compact with what they were going to do against Miami. And then I think now it's like, okay, he had another week to kind of get things going. And so I thought maybe we'd see a little bit of a regression this week.
Sure.
And now I'm really excited to see what we do this coming week to really give him that 2-3 weeks on the job and kind of get into a groove, what's been working, talk to the players. I guess it wasn't a surprise to me that this week was a little bit slower than the week before. But overall, I think, we're averaging 34 points a game with him right now. Dalvin's averaging over 100 a game with him, and the Vikings are 2-0. So when you look bigger picture, those are things that we wanted to have happen. I think we're seeing a little bit more big play calling, which is great. I'm happy. I think it was definitely the right move, and I feel like I can confidently say I think we would be talking about the offseason right now if they had not made that move.
Sure, because we would have lost the last couple. I tend to agree with you. I think he's definitely been an injection, and you know, we talked about the last podcast about him having an ear to the players the last few years here, and really understanding more so their gripes about what they want, what they don't want, what's working, what doesn't work. And I think you kind of hit it. There is first game in, he's kind of just stretching a bit more against Detroit, and hopefully we can see that next step against Chicago coming in here. And start out a little bit fast. Don't put the brakes on, and let's throw 50 against Chicago. Why not?
And I mean, getting that, hopefully we win every coin toss, I guess, because getting that defense out, even though we tend to see that defense bend a lot on that first drive or two, and we end up down, you know, there's 3 points on the board, whatever. We against some of the good teams, it's been 7-0. But then they really, really seem to change and adapt from that point on. And so I think hopefully the Vikings can get a little luck here going forward with the coin toss. Let that defense get out, kind of get the ball rolling, get everything going.
Or actually sometimes unluck, because a lot of times they'll defer.
Yeah. Oh, the other team?
No, we'll defer. So if we win the toss, we'll defer till the second half.
Right.
You're saying we want to have the ball first.
I want us to be on defense to start.
Oh, okay. I thought you had that backwards. Okay,
no. So I think if we can get our defense on the field to start and then have our offense come out to start the second half, that's where I think we're at our best.
Oh, okay. I'm with you now. I thought you had that backwards.
No.
Okay.
So, overall, I think it's the right move. It's going to be a big week to see how we do against a very good team, very good defense that will be playing as hard as they can right out the gate. You know?
Right.
So, unless he makes a decision like McVay did last year, where they decide they're going to rest players, you know, just to get them healthy. But I think with a bye on the line, I don't see how you make that decision.
Well, it all depends on how likely they think that the Rams are going to lose is.
Right.
You know, if the 49ers weren't playing this well, I think you'd be a lot more inclined just to sit your guys regardless.
Right.
But I think like we talked about off show, they're going to be scoreboard watching, so if the Rams are ahead by 20 going into the second half, we could easily see them pulling the guys.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see for certain. I don't think, no matter what they do, I think getting in here and just making a quality win, making a statement, even if it's against some of the backups, is still going to do wonders for the confidence of this team, having to travel then to Soldier Field to play the Bears again next week. So.
Yep.
Any last thoughts here, Mike, on the Bears?
Well, I mean, on the Bears, I got a lot of thoughts.
On Detroit, that's different.
Sorry. No, nothing really. I think we went on the road and got a win. We won by double digits. Yes, it was a little bit unique on how you do it, but at the end of the day,
win's a win.
They came out with a big W, and I think they took a step forward.
Detroit has still yet to score a touchdown on us this year.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a big week. I think everyone's excited. This is our playoff game. So be ready. Wear purple basically every day.
It's still here in front of us, guys. It's last week. Take care of business. Then next week is the last week. And the week after that's the last week.
Yep.
It's all right in front of us here.
They know what they're doing. They got a coach and they got the experience. So
let's take care of business. And yeah, just for anyone that still thinks that Zimmer's job is still somehow in the hot seat, it's like, no, he's on about the frozen throne right now. Right? that thing's ice cold. Ain't going anywhere. But anyway, yeah. Next week, or a couple days here, we'll have Chicago preview.
Be a fun show.
Go a little bit in depth on what the differences might be now versus 5-6 weeks ago. I forget how long ago we played them, but definitely some changes in coaching staffs and players that are healthy and utilize different. So we'll get into that soon.
Yeah.
So look out for that. Skulgers.com, climbinthepocket.com. I'm at Namok7.
Musky_Mike.
Come check us out, man. We're there for all your listening and viewing pleasure for some of the Climbing the Pocket stuff. So hope you have a continued great holiday season. We'll talk to you soon.
Skull.
Bikes.